Good evening. It is so nice to see everyone out this evening. We're so thankful that you are here. Another evening to be together. So nice to see so many of you who have traveled this way that I've not been able to see for quite some time. And just appreciate so much you coming tonight, but not so much for me, but for your love for God and your love for God's Word. So nice to see Brother Larry here this evening. And I asked him, I said, I thought I had a meeting there next year. I said, do I have a meeting with you next year? He said, next spring. I said, okay, call me. We'll get it set up. Don't ask me what I'm preaching on, because I don't know. We'll just show up with a whole batch of the sermons, and whatever we decide to preach, we'll preach. Tonight's the lesson, I was going back and forth between two different lessons all day long. I kept going. Actually, I went between four lessons today. Started off with one lesson. I asked Mariah, what do you think of this lesson? Gave her about 5 minutes of it. She said, I think I really like that. I went upstairs, started going over it, and thought, I don't like this. I had a backup lesson. I pulled that backup lesson out. I started going over it a little bit. I said, maybe I'll go with this one. And I didn't like that. So I come back down. I said, okay, Mariah, between these two lessons. She said, well, they both sound good. So I asked my mom up to the door. I said, okay, between these two lessons, she said, well, you just preach whatever you want to preach. I was getting no help. And so you're getting what you're getting tonight, and hopefully it will help you in some way. But so glad to be here. Appreciate so much last night afterwards. We went out with Jeff and Jeannie and Chris and Dickie and had a wonderful evening together. Had lots of laughs and told lots of stories and had wonderful fellowship. Appreciate so much. Just so nice being back home. It really, really is. As you can see tonight, we're going to be talking about our struggles and our contentions. The victory we have in Jesus. Appreciate it so much, the song. Where are we leaning? We better be leaning on Jesus. And we're going to talk about that tonight. In fact, I wasn't able to grab the song leader, but I was going to request that very song to be led. And it just so happened, I heard that song being led, and I said, well, let me know. We didn't get to talk about it, but it worked out just perfectly. In my 14 years of preaching, I have noticed that I have learned within every congregation that they are full of great people. People who want to live right, people who want to do right, and people who want to serve God. But also what I have noticed is how difficult that can be at times. And how at times that can be a real struggle, because you see, life is full of problems. Life is full of difficulties. There are peaks and there are valleys in life. That can be anything from at times it can be financial problems, at times it can be family problems, at times it can be problems on the job or problems at school or wherever those problems may lie. And then sometimes it's just the serious sin that is in our life. Temptation that comes our way. I want you to hear what I'm about to say, and I want you to hear it very clearly, and that is every one of us is flawed. Every one of us is flawed. Because none of us are ever going to perfect the Christian life. And God doesn't expect us to. God expects us certainly to do what we can do. But we still fall very short. When you look at your Christian walk, I'm sure you can look and you can say, well, I could improve in this area, or I could do this a little more, or whatever it is. We all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us those very words. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I always laugh when people look at the church, and they look at people who are church-going people, and they say, well, you all think that you are perfect. I don't think that. In fact, I realize the reason why we assemble and the reason why we come together, church, is because we are imperfect people. Amen?
Amen?
We're here because we need the forgiveness of God. We need the grace and the mercy and the long-suffering and the love of God. I will never claim to be perfect, and I'm never going to claim of any other Christian out there that they are perfect. On over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10, we read very similar words just two verses later. He says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, the church, as we know, it's the people. We're the church. Yes, we are imperfect people. That's not a cop-out for sin. That is just reality. That is just a simple truth. But we cannot stay where we are at. Why is that? We'll go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, with me, please. Hebrews chapter 2, and let's read these verses together to have just maybe a little better understanding. The writer of Hebrews says here, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. You see, when we have sin, when we have struggles in our life, if we just continue to live that way, what's going to happen? The writer of Hebrews says here, we're just going to drift away. We're just going to slowly drift away. You know, when you hear that word drift, that's not something that happens suddenly. A lot of times, if you're just drifting, that just happens just a little bit at a time. You just start drifting. And before you know it, you think, man, I'm a lot further away than I realize. I've fallen a lot further away from God than I've realized. I remember years ago hearing this statement. It said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. And I believe that's absolutely true. Well, let us talk for a moment about the difficulty of sin. Because you see, the Christian life is not easy. Getting to heaven is not easy. And Jesus never promised us that it was going to be easy. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in thereby. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and in the city of there are few who find it. Did you know what Jesus said? Enter by the narrow gate, but what? Difficult is the way. It's going to be trying. In the Christian life, I believe it's the most rewarding life. I believe it is the most blessed life. And I believe it is a life that gives one a purpose. Everybody looks for their purpose in life. The Christian life gives you that. But it's not always just going to be, no. It's not always just going to be easy. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult to overcome sin in our life? Well, let's go to James 1 and let's read what James has to say, because James tells us why it is difficult. James chapter 1 in verse 13, James says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted. Notice this. Each one is tempted. When he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full grown brings forth death. You know that fish, when you're fishing, he sees the bait. He might even smell that bait. But you know what he doesn't know? He doesn't know there's a hook, does he? And all you're, what are you trying to do with that bait? You're enticing that fish, right? And so you sit there on those trout streams, and you work that down through. Hopefully, one of those fish takes the bait, and then you got a hook. That's what the devil does to each and every one of us. He entices us. He tries to lure us and draw us in, just waiting for us to take the bait. Because he knows a lot of times if we could take that bait just once, well then he can get you again. And he draws us away, the Bible says, by our own desires. You see, that's what makes us so different. That's what makes Christianity different, if it's because when we look at everybody, we're going to talk about this tonight, we all have different struggles. My struggles are not your struggles. And your struggles are not going to be mine. Because our desires are going to be different. And so Satan works with each one of us or against each one of us in a different way. But he knows how to attack us. But look at verse 12 with me for just a moment. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, James writes and he says this, you can be victorious. You can beat the devil. Why? Because God is greater than the devil. And God has gave us what we need to win. God has given us what we need to be victorious. But I want us to realize something. We're a family. And within all families, we have struggles. And we need guidance to overcome them. Remember last night as I was preaching, I told you about that box that I put up in the back of the building at Bridgeport. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And I asked the members, I said, if you wouldn't mind, please fill out your struggles. Please fill out your temptations. And I want you to write them down. I want you to put them in that box. Don't write your name on it. Just write what you're struggling with. Like I said, I didn't know what the response was going to be. I didn't know if anybody would even put a paper in that box. And I let it go. I said to myself, I'm not going to keep checking it. And I didn't want people seeing me going back there and looking in the box. So I just kind of let it be. And then when I wouldn't open the box, I was shocked. So many people had written down different things. And so then I began to go through those things. And the reason why I did that was because I wanted the members of the family at Bridgeport to know what each one was really struggling with. And then I got up and I began to preach. And I was preaching this very lesson. Seemed to change a little bit. And I began reading this list off. I said, these are what our brothers and sisters in Christ are struggling with. And the eyes of people, they couldn't believe it. You mean Sister So-and-so? Brother So-and-so? Struggling with that? Of course, they didn't know who it was. And I made it very clear, as I went to read that list off, I said, the one thing you are not to do right now is try to figure out who wrote this down. I said, that's not why we are doing this, that's not our purpose here, but I want you to know this, because you see what happens to a lot of us here. We have struggle, we have temptation, we have those things deep inside of us, and you know what we think in our minds? I'm the only one going through this. I'm such a bad Christian. And the reality is, no, you're not. You're not the only one that struggles. You're not the only one that devil's tempting. That's what I told you last night about many of those I read. People said, I struggle with praying to God. I struggle with reading my Bible. Others mentioned how they struggle with controlling their tongue, patience, keeping their temper under control. Others mentioned how they struggle and talk to others about the Bible, about God, Jesus Christ. One person said, Christians who judge me without finding out the facts first. Taking a person for who they are and not judging them based on my standards. Another person said, raising faithful, godly children, being lonely, grieving, weeping, feeling left out, and struggling all alone. Another said, at work, I am not the Christian I ought to be. I am disgruntled, and I doubt my salvation. Another said, I struggle with self-control, lust of the flesh, and the eyes. One said, drinking alcohol, loving my spouse the way I should, being the father I should be, forgiving others and forgiving myself. And on and on and on the list went, and there was some, you know, when we look at, we say we don't categorize sins, but we do. We have those big sins, we have those little sins. You know, some of the reason they say, oh, they struggle with praying. Okay, we understand that. But then you start getting into, someone says, well, I struggle with alcohol. And someone says, well, who would that be? Another said, I struggle with pornography. Who would that be? You know, as I read that list off, well, there were a lot of great people at Bridgeport. A lot of hard workers for Christ. I didn't look at anybody any different. I just looked out and said, we have a lot of people with a lot of struggle and a lot of temptation. And I don't think that's true for just the Bridgeport Church of Christ.
Amen.
It's everywhere we go. And you see, the whole reason why I wanted to do that was go to James chapter 5, verse 16 with me for just a moment. Because you see, I appreciate those that wrote those things down. In James chapter 5, verse 16, James writes, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You see, it is by prayer that we can break down the wall. That if a brother or sister is really struggling, that they will feel comfortable enough to tell another and say, I need prayer. We need to break those walls down. But why do we break those walls down? You want to know why? Because we're embarrassed. We're afraid to tell somebody else about what I'm really struggling with. We're afraid to come forward and say, church, I need your prayers. Because we're embarrassed about what other people are going to think of us. And because we're so embarrassed, then you know what happens? We just stay where we're at. And if all you want to do is try to work it out by yourself and on your own, and sometimes we can do that. More often times than not, we can't. And what happens is, we just start getting out of hand of that struggle, of that temptation. If we're not careful, we'll get the best of us. You see, what we have to realize is not only the difficulty of sin, but we do not have to carry that burden alone. God doesn't want you to carry that burden alone. God doesn't want any of us. And so, God wants us to understand not only the difficulty of sin, but the dependability of the Father. You see, God is always going to be there for us. Go back over to 1 John chapter 1 with me, please. 1 John chapter 1. We didn't read this verse a little while ago. Verse 9. Well, it's right there between verse 8 and verse 10 that we read a little while ago. Verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God is faithful. God is going to be there to forgive us when we confess our sins. God is going to be there because He understands that we're never going to be that perfect Christian. And you know, when I find that person who thinks they're the perfect Christian, the one thing I always enjoy doing is humbling them. Because, you know, we're not. And a lot of times that perfect Christian, what you find about them is this. They love to just pass out judgment on everybody else. Because they have it figured out. Because they're doing it all right. And you don't forget what Jesus said. By taking that place out of your own eye before you take the step out of your brother. The Father is always going to be there for us. He does not expect us to try to carry these burdens alone. And you know what we all know? There is nothing that is too big for God. There is nothing that a person struggles with that is too big for God. Go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, verse 26. Of course, you can see where we're going to be going tonight, so you can maybe get a head start there on these verses. In Matthew chapter 19, we read, but Jesus looked at him and he said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that with God, all things are possible? Do you believe that God can help you with any trouble, any temptation that you're dealing with? I believe He can. You see, He wants to help you, and He will be there to help you. But you and I have to let Him help us. We have to let Him in. God understands every struggle and every temptation someone faces. You know, there are certain times that I've talked to people, and they have told me what they have struggled with. And I go, well, I don't understand. Because that's not a temptation for me. But go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us this. You can never look at God and say you don't understand. Because the Bible says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You can't look at God and say, you don't understand, because the Bible says, He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ came to this earth, He lived on this earth, He was tempted just like you and I are daily. He knows what it is to be tempted. You know, there was a temptation when that devil came to him and he said, well, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. When he had been fasting out in that wilderness, you don't think that was a temptation for him in that moment? You don't think that was the time where he wanted to really give in? Absolutely. You see, we can know God can understand. And we can know that God will forgive us when we repent and when our heart is right. You see, we can make our Christian life better. How do we do that? The Bible tells us that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul wrote these words. He said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And then we read in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then John writes in 1 John, and he says, he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. Walk in the steps of Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Imitate Christ. And you will find yourself growing. You will find yourself being able to overcome those struggles and overcome those weaknesses just as he did. I remember when I was younger, and I was deer hunting with my dad. And we were squirrel hunting. And I remember I got my first shotgun, a little 410. And we took up over the hill behind the house to do squirrel hunting. I remember we got up on this knoll, we were just standing there, we were going to go on out the way. And Dad turned around and he said, listen, you got to be real quiet. You know, when you start learning how to hunt, the one thing you have to learn is how to walk in the woods. And you have to learn how to walk and be as quiet as you can. And I remember my dad saying, where I stand, you stand. And I remember walking behind him, you know, and with every place he stepped, there I would stand. And I was trying to be as quiet as I could walking behind him. He shouldn't have had me behind me with a gun in my head, I can tell you that. But when I think about walking in the steps of Jesus, I think about I step where he steps. And I walk in his path. Because if I'm walking in his steps, and I'm walking in his path, then I'm going to be where he is, and that's in heaven. You see, God has given us what we need, and he's given us the relief and the help we need. We need to pray to God. And we need to be putting on the armor of God. So we fight against the wiles of the devil. But we also, at times, just have to flee. At times, that's the only option we have. There's a reason why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. I'm not going to tell you that it's always going to be easy to bear. Because there have been people who have come to me and I've talked to them and I've realized and I've told them this is going to be hard to overcome. This might be a daily battle for the rest of your life. But you know, I've been amazed by people and the strength they gain through God and Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And what they've been able to overcome and how their lives are changed. We must never forget Deuteronomy 31 verse 8. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you, nor fear nor be dismayed. God's not leaving you. God's not forsaking you. God is going to be there for you, and you and I have to understand the dependability of the Father. But then, we have to understand the duty to our brothers and sisters. Because we have a responsibility. We have to help each other. We have to be there. Now, I believe one of those areas is we have to become more comfortable where we can talk. And where we can come to each other when we're having trouble. Because that seems to have always been a problem ever since I can remember. Because we as people, we like to just keep things to ourselves. We like to just keep that to ourselves, as long as it's to ourselves, and nobody knows, we're okay. Well, we have to make sure that there's love. There's love. Because when you know that someone really loves you, you're more willing to talk to them. When you know that somebody loves you and they care for you, you're more willing to say, I trust you. And so I'm going to share this information with you. And we have to be trustworthy people. Turn your Bibles if you would. I don't even think I have these verses up here. I don't. Let's just go to 1 John chapter 4. You can write those down and we'll just add a couple to them here. 1 John chapter 4, John writes here and he says these words. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. If he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Folks, we need to really love each other. It's one thing to preach and say we are a family, and it is another thing to be a family. I can promise you this right now, a church that isn't family, a church that really is close, when other people come in and they see that church and they see that family unit you have, they're going to want to be a part of that. Everybody desires and wants to be part of a family. And when that exists, well, then we are going to be loving each other the way that we're supposed to be. And we're going to be caring for each other. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And let's look at what it said here about caring for one another. We all know verse 10 where the Bible says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But let's go to chapter 6, verse 1 here for just a moment. And let's look at this. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself lest you also be tempted. You have one overtaken there. When he says a man is overtaken, that word literally means an ambush. And when we go, the Bible says, we are to restore them. And it says, the good says, restore such a one in a spirit of rebuke. Is that what you said? The Jews say, when you go to restore him, condemn him, and tell him how awful he is. Throw rocks at him. And anybody that has the Bible. I don't believe that's what your version says. I believe your version says, when you go and restore him, you restore him in a spirit of gentleness. I'm not saying there's not times that rebuke them, either. But I can tell you this, folks. When somebody is gentle and somebody is kind with me, I'm a whole lot more receptive to hear what they're going to have to say. And when someone is gentle and they are kind with me, I know they care about me. I know they're really concerned for me. I know they really love me. I've not always had that spirit or that attitude. I have prayed a lot about it. Hopefully I am growing to have that spirit and that attitude where I'm more kind and loving and gentle. I was very much just, you know, someone would come to me and they would tell me, well, this is what's going on. I'd say, well, then get over it. You can probably understand where that came from. We'll thank Kevin Curry for that. He's not here. We'll give him the credit for that tonight. You get over it. Well, I realize it's not that easy, yes. And so there are people who need to be just nurtured and brought back in a loving way. But then we also have to have unity. A church that is united is a church that's going to know each other. You're going to know when a brother or sister is struggling and when they need to be picked up. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And then we need to be a church that encourages. A church that uplifts and exhorts. Lifting one another up. Helping each other in times of struggle, in times of temptation, in times of need. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, if you want to go over there, let's read this very quickly together because we have one final point. And then the lesson will be yours right after this. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. But exhort one another daily by the call today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, that's why we've got to be encouraging and uplifting each other. So we are not hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is real, and sin grabs a hold of us. Sin will grab a hold of the best of people.
I have watched people who were good people, godly people. Someone goes, well, how can they be a godly person? The temptation's out of that. They didn't all of a sudden become this animal or this evil person. They just found themselves in a hole and didn't know how to get out. And the deceitfulness of sin, it hardened them. And it hardened their soul. There was a lady back at home that I've talked to many times. And I feel like there are times that I'm breaking down some walls when I'll go over and I'll just stop in and we'll talk. For the longest time when I would stop in and I could get nowhere, she'd be very cold. She had a wall up and she wasn't going to let anybody break that wall down. But a little bit of time, I've noticed that wall starting to just maybe chip away. I've noticed her guard starting to be let down just a little bit, and I keep praying for her down there. And I think we're getting really close. You see, what she needed to know was that the church loved her. She didn't know that somebody really cared about her. We didn't write her off. We didn't forget about her. We don't think she's just this sinner that's just, you know, lost and we don't want anything to do with her. No, we want her soul to be in heaven. People need to know that. And sometimes we don't tell them that enough. But then the last thing we have to do to overcome the struggles and the temptations of life is we've got to be leaning on Jesus. You know, we live in times where Jesus is not talked about enough. Jesus is not even talked about enough oftentimes, but within members of the church. I was talking to Dad and my mom and my sister, and I said, you know, one of the problems that I've noticed is, right now, you know, when you said anything about, you know, numbers within the church, we are losing about 63% of our young people. 63% is about what we are losing. And I've given a lot of thought to that, and I thought, why is it that we are losing our young people at such a fast rate? And I thought about when I was a kid, and I thought, you know, we did what everybody else did. It wasn't our fault. It wasn't the Bible class teacher's fault. We just did what everybody does. We teach our young people the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Our young people know that. We teach them the five acts of worship and what we are to do in worship and why we are to do it. And when you become young, 16, 17, 18 years old, you know those first principles. I knew those first principles. But you know what I didn't know? Jesus Christ. That's a problem. That's a problem because when that relationship doesn't exist, we're in trouble. Here's why. We get to a certain age where, you know, when we do something that's wrong, and our parents find out, you know, you get to that age where you really feel bad. Why? Because you disappointed mom and dad. You feel bad that you left them down. Why is it you feel bad? Because you have a relationship with mom and dad. When that relationship doesn't exist with Jesus Christ, and you sin, and you don't feel bad about it, now we're in a problem zone. We have to have a relationship with Jesus where we can be leaning on Him no matter what the problems are. Because what we oftentimes forget is Jesus wants us to be leaning on Him during difficult times. God says, come to me. I am here to help you. I want to help you. Go to Psalm 55, verse 22 with me, please. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. We have to be casting those burdens, casting those struggles upon God. Lean on God and lean upon God's Word to get us through difficult times. In Psalm 119, we read on down here in verse, we'll start up here in verse 70. We read, their heart is as fat grease, but I delight your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. You know, sometimes those struggles, those difficulties, those problems in life, those valleys in life are not always bad. And the reason why they're not always bad is sometimes they bring us closer to God. Sometimes sometimes they bring us back to where we start praying to God more. Sometimes they bring us to a point where we say, I'm going to start reading my Bible more. And if it wasn't for that difficult time, we may even never do that. We may be just stay kind of how we were, stick to the status quo. You see, we can lean on Jesus because He loves us more than anyone else. Jesus is the only one that has ever died for me. I've had a lot of people that love me. I know that you all love me. But Jesus died for me. There's a reason why when Jesus gives that invitation, He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourself. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, I want to be yoked together with you. And Jesus only wants to be yoked together with you, but Jesus says, let me carry most of the load. Because He will. We have to let Him. You see, Jesus is the one constant that will always be there for us. He's never going anywhere. He's always going to be there to understand what we're going through. He's the one that was tempted just like we're tempted. And no matter the difficulty, it's never going to be too big for Him. He's going to be there to help you. It doesn't matter what the problems or the valleys or the struggle or the temptations in life are. I wish you that you can overcome them. God will never place on you more than you can help. Can we get ourselves in a bad situation where it's tough to come out of? Yes. But you know, we can say just like Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I look at my life and I think of everything God has provided for me and everything God has given me and the time Jesus Christ has been there for me, I oftentimes have looked at my life and wondered why. You all knew me when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, and none of you at that time thought I'd be standing here before you today preaching a sermon to you. And neither did I. That was the furthest thing on my mind at that time. You know, and I remember temptation and sin when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. And then eventually I thought, well, it's going to get a little bit easier. And I hit 25 and I realized I'm still being tempted. And I hit 30 and I realized I'm still being tempted. And now I'm 34 and I'm still being tempted. But Christ is still there. And God is still there. They're there to help me and they're there to strengthen me. They're there to strengthen you. You see, it's such a blessing to be a child of God. Know that when we come to Him and we repent, we're forgiven. And it's gone, it's brought away, it's done. Oftentimes, used to think that one of these days I was going to get to heaven and God was going to pull out some big sheet and He was going to say, okay, Ryan, here it is. Here's all the sins that you've committed. And they're going to go down through this list, and you're going to be accountable for every one of those sins. And then I started to understand what forgiveness is all about. And I realized that as long as I'm walking in the light, and as long as I'm striving to be faithful to God, that, you know, He's going to get there one day, and if that list was to pull up, or He was to pull up some sheets, you know what it looked like?
It looked just like this right here.
Because I would have been forgiven. And you're forgiven for your sins. As long as you strive to walk in the light and be faithful, that blood of Christ is always there to continue to cleanse us. You see, tonight, if you're here and you're not a child of God, we encourage you to obey the gospel, the plan of salvation, to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. You confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before men, Romans 10:9-10, and to be baptized, to have those sins washed away. Ananias walked in, and he said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The one thing that we all have in common is we all need forgiveness. Every one of us, if we agree, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Forgiveness is available. Forgiveness is here. Tonight, if you're here and you need to respond, to obey the gospel, and to repent and be baptized, or to need the prayers of the church, we're here for you. We love you. We'll pray with you. You come right now, and you stand up this time.